77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're
been a great show already, really has. We spoke to Alex Trayman, JNS.org, bright and early this morning, live in Israel. Curtis Sliwa, terrific. Alan Dershowitz, amazing. Still to come, Steve Bannon, that's my guy, War Room, Donald Trump. Dov Hyken, who I gave a big award to last night, him and his lovely wife, Shani, well-deserved. And then we'll talk to Mike Lawler, House GOP up there in Rockland County. But I'm really excited about this guest. He's making his second appearance on Sid and Friends in the Morning. And, man, I loved this guy when he was Donald Trump's ambassador to Israel. And he was out with me for the first time about a month ago, and it got back to me from people in Israel that he really enjoyed it. In fact, he brought me up unprovoked during a conversation about media personalities in New York, and I was really humbled. So here he is, my friend David Friedman. David, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. How are you? Great to be with you again.
Great to have you back on this day. And before we get into what happened Saturday in Israel, you were the ambassador under Trump. Trump is in a courtroom about 15 minutes away from me coming up later on this morning for the most ludicrous, embarrassing case in the history of law. That doesn't mean he's not going to get convicted here in New York, but we all agree it's an absolute joke. But how sad is it that your former boss and friend has to be in a court now 4 days a week for possibly 8 weeks?
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to our judicial system. It's an embarrassment to our country. He's being prosecuted for something that nobody in history has ever been prosecuted for. And obviously, if you aren't running for president, and if you weren't winning, you know, in the polls, this prosecution wouldn't be going on. But, yeah, this is the worst thing you can do, is to use the judicial system to prosecute your political opponents. It's what Stalin used to do in Russia. You know, it's what dictators do. It's terrible. And it's a real shame on our country. And it's a shame on New York City, which I used to love.
You used to love. It's funny because I live in Queens, but Danielle and I lived in New York City down by Wall Street. We lived in Chelsea. Most recently, we lived on the Upper West Side, which is a horrible place, by the way. Horrible, David.
Yeah.
And I work in the city. I'm on 49th Street and 3rd Avenue right now, and I love working in the city. I enjoy the energy, but I can't wait to get out of here. And it's for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's gross, it's too much crime. I hate the politicians. I've got my reasons. What are yours?
Yeah, like I said, I worked in Manhattan for 35 years. I went into the city every day from Long Island. I still like Long Island, by the way. I still like Queens. But you know, it's just, to me, it's unlivable. It's too crowded. The traffic's brutal. The roads are in terrible shape. The crime is crazy. The fact that, you know, to get a bottle of Advil, you have to go speak to, you know, some the pharmacy guy to unlock the thing so you can get a bottle of Advil or a bottle of Tylenol, because everybody just steals from these things. It's terrible. I mean, it's becoming unlivable, and I don't live there anymore. I moved to Florida like a million other people.
You did move to Florida, and you're in South Florida, obviously. You love it down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a Trump guy, obviously, but you'd have to admit that Ron DeSantis, while not a very good presidential candidate, in fact, he sucked, to be honest, he is a pretty good governor, yes?
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I mean, it doesn't have the energy of New York City, I agree with you. And, you know, I miss that part of New York City, but it's outweighed by the fact that, you know, you can go wherever you want to go. The roads are fine. The there's not a lot of crime there. The weather's great. There's, you know, you're not standing online for everything you want to do. It's just an easier place to live. And, like, you know, I do miss New York City. It's a one of a kind place to live, and I loved it, but I don't love it anymore.
You're actually in New York right now. You're in a car as we speak. So,
yes.
So you're telling me, David, that wherever you live down there in South Florida, that you haven't seen 5,000 or 10,000 people amass like we get here in Bay Ridge and other spots in Teaneck, New Jersey. You haven't seen 5,000 pro-Palestinians mark down the golf, watch, you know, march down the golf courses of Boca Raton. You haven't seen that?
they don't want to go on the golf course. It's a Boca Raton. They wouldn't last 10 minutes. That's an act of war to walk on the greens of Boca Raton. Are you kidding? that's worse than what Iran did to Israel, walking on the greens of Boca Raton. Are you kidding me?
You're right. No, you say it's worse than what Iran did to Israel. And I spoke to you very early yesterday morning, and I put up a video even 2 hours before you and I spoke. And I said to you, at the risk of you saying, Sid, you sound crazy. I said to you, I believe the Americans were in on this all the whole way. I believe Biden spoke to Iran. He spoke to Turkey. He said, listen, they killed your guy. You got a safe base. I get it. Send the drones. Send the missiles. We'll shoot them out of the sky. Give us ample warning to do it. And then everybody will be fine. There'll be no more chaos. There'll be no World War III. So I really believe that while the Israeli citizens were scared to death running to bomb shelters and watching things explode in the sky, that this son of a bitch, Joe Biden, was behind the whole thing. How about that?
Well, you know what? You know, we talked about it yesterday, and I was kind of skeptical. But as the stories are coming out, you know, about Biden's conversation with Turkey, using Turkey as an intermediary to negotiate with Iran. Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to it. Look, if this ends up being true, this will be an absolute outrage and a scandal the likes of which I haven't seen before. The fact that America is negotiating for Iran's attack on Israel, 300 missiles, ballistic cruise missiles, UAVs. I mean, look, it's great that Israel was able to intercept all of them. But you know what? Easily, some of these things could have gotten through. And some of these things are huge, huge missiles. And the idea that America is somehow negotiating is unthinkable. And by the way, I was thinking about it after we spoke. And you know, one of the reasons why I think Biden would do this is because, you know, 2 years ago, they gave up their entire strategic oil reserve. Now, America has this massive oil reserve for emergencies. And Biden said, you know, it's an emergency because we might lose the midterm elections. So that was his emergency. And gas was very expensive. And so, you know, he released oil. We don't have any left. We have nothing left in the reserves. And so the idea that somehow there could be a war with Iran and oil could go up in price and Biden can't do anything about it, to him, that's how he loses the election. You know, another couple of dollars in the price of oil, and Biden's finished. And I think this guy is that calculating and that political relative to, you know, being principled, that he might actually do that. So, you know, we need to see this more in more detail, but you could be right. And if that's the case, wow, what an embarrassment for our country that we're not only are we not standing with Israel, but we're negotiating with Israel's enemy with regard to the size and shape of the attack.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Hey, tell me this, David, because I get a lot of flack from liberal Jewish people. Even on Long Island, Inwood, just last night, a couple of people were horrified when they spoke to me. Because I'm trying to figure out, even dating back to his days when he had to deal with Menachem Begin, when exactly was Joe Biden pro-Israel? I mean, the guy was Obama's VP when they did a deal with Iran. He wins the presidency. It takes him 3 days to get John Kerry back in his office to do the Iran deal again. And let me remind folks, after October 7th, second week of November, Joe Biden allows $10 billion in those frozen reserves to go back to Iran. Can you explain to me exactly when Joe Biden was pro-Israel?
You'd have to, you know, I can't think of a time. I mean, he will occasionally say something that sounds good. But look, the guy has given $26 billion in sanctions relief to Iran just in the last 6 months. $26 billion. He appointed as one of his aides, Robert Malley, you know, who has since been fired. They won't tell you why. Apparently he lost his security clearance. Apparently he was working for the other side, but nobody will tell you. Like, the Congress has been trying to figure out for a while, but they won't tell you why. He's got some people working for him, which are absolutely the worst. I mean, you know, Kerry's terrible, and Wendy Sherman was terrible. She's now since gone, but a whole bunch of other people, the worst people, the most anti-Israel people that any administration has had, worse than Obama, now work for Biden. And so, he may talk, you know, again, with him, everything is political. He'll go to an event, and if he thinks he's got a pro-Israel crowd, he may offer a few platitudes about Israel. But the actions of this guy have never been pro-Israel, never.
Thank you. This is the great ambassador to Israel under Donald Trump, and a wonderful man. I mean that David Friedman. So, Dave, what does BB do next? I mean, clearly, Joe Biden, I believe, did what he did through Turkey with Iran to avoid any more conflict because he plays on both teams. And it took him all of 5 minutes to say to BB, hey, if you do something else, we're not with you. So what does BB do next? You've got Rafah still sitting there with terrorists and hostages. You've got Iran sitting there after sending 300 missiles into your neighborhoods on Saturday night. What does BB do next?
Well, look, as far as Rafah goes, he's got a, you know, this is all one war. I mean, I think people kind of get this confused. This is all one war. The guy that was killed, the Iranian that was killed, that they say started this thing, was actually in Syria. He had no business being in Syria. And he was in Syria as the architect of the Hamas attack against Israel. That's the Iranian who was killed. So when people say, you know, well, Israel, you know, had it coming because they killed an Iranian. No. Israel was attacked by Hamas, and this Iranian was part of that attack. So, he's got to finish off this war. He's got to go into Rafah. He's got to clean out Hamas. That's the minimum. And Israel can do that on its own. Israel doesn't need anybody's help. Now, the question is, you know, and then they got to, you know, obviously, you know, have enough deterrence to push Hezbollah back off the border so that the people, the 60, 80,000 Israelis who are off the border right now can go back to their homes, which is a huge issue. When it comes to Iran, look, I think they got to be clever. I think they got to be smart. They got to be strategic. And I'll tell you why, because I think Biden is really sticking it to Israel right now. I mean, Israel, they need spare parts for their planes. They need ammo. They need money. They need a bunch of things. And you know, Biden's got them over a barrel right now because of this war. So I think the question that, you know, Bibi's got to finish Hamas, and then he's got to tap dance, you know, around Biden, you know, until January 20th of 2025 and hope that we got a new administration. Nice. That's got to be the strategy. That's got to be the strategy right now.
That's terrible. That's a long wait. I mean, I'm not saying go drop a bomb in Tehran. I mean, I believe that a lot of the Iranian people actually would like to get rid of this regime. I know how they are. They love the West. I mean, I'm going to use a very silly example, but watching that show Shahs of Sunset on the Bravo channel, those are all Persian people who moved to Los Angeles and said, my relatives love what the United States does. And I believe the majority of Iranian people feel that way. I'm not saying bomb the people, but at the very least, can we not bomb the oil fields? Can we not bomb their nuclear plants? Those types of systematic tactical attacks?
I think Bibi would do that in a second if he knew he had I just think he needs the weaponry and the ammo. I mean, I don't know where Israel is right now. I mean, they've been in a war now for 6 months, and it's a multi-front war, and it just cost them $1.5 billion one night, one Saturday night cost them $1.5 billion.
Wow.
in defending against those 300 missiles. So I don't know where he is. I suspect that America is leveraging Israel terribly right now not to do these things, and I think Bibi's got the you know, he's got the constitution, you know he's built to handle these types of issues. Whether he has the, you know, the weapons that he needs at his disposal, I don't know, and I'm really worried about what Biden's doing to him behind closed doors. It looks like these private conversations are brutal.
I agree. So in the final 60 seconds, our friend Trump gets to all these ridiculous trials. Maybe he gets convicted. I don't know. But he ain't going to jail for an extended period of time. So he's going to be the president of the United States. So Trump takes over January of 2025. My friend David Friedman once again regains his post as the ambassador to Israel. And how quickly can you and Donald Trump fix what's been broken by Biden in the Middle East?
Not more than a week. Not more than a week.
Really?
Maybe less.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, what will you do to? I believe you. I love you. But what will you do to make that true?
You impose massive sanctions on Iran on the first day. I mean, the first day you impose massive sanctions. You bring them to financial ruin. You let the world know that you stand with Israel and that anybody who attacks Israel has to. That Israel will have, not that American troops will defend Israel, because Israel's never asked for that, and we don't need to do that. But you need to send out the message that anyone attacks Israel, the United States will place no limitations whatsoever, no handcuffs on Israel's self-defense, and will provide Israel with whatever resources they need. Those two things, the sanctions and that messaging, and I think the whole world's a different place.
David Friedman, I can only hope and pray that you have that opportunity. You and my friend Trump, I think you will, and I hope that's going to be the case. Thank you for another amazing conversation. I'm really honored that you come on this program and say such nice things to me. So thank you so much. Have a great day, and I look forward to talking to you again very, very soon, Dave.
You're the best. Thanks, Sid.
Oh, my God. Thank you. That's a big deal. You got to cut that up. David Friedman just said, I'm the best. You got to add that to the collage with Trump and Mark Levin and everybody else.
You're the best. Hey, could you tell Trump something from me?
He didn't say that. Not David Friedman. But God, I hope we win and get this guy back. What a tremendous guy. The former ambassador to Donald Trump, to Israel, for Donald Trump, I should say, David Friedman.